Hey, everybody, in this episode of the Riverdale After Show, we're breaking down Season 3, Episode 11, Chapter 46, The Red Dahlia, Who Shot Hiram, Who Killed Clifford, Who Killed Claudius. Get your safe words ready, because we're going to break it all down next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
There you go. You just feel the noir just settling in. Right here in studio for this episode of the Riverdale After Show. Welcome, everyone. We're breaking out every episode of Riverdale airing Wednesday nights on the CW. I'm Frank Moran.
Hey, I'm Elena Jordan.
Hi, guys. I'm Zach Peter.
And our lovely and talented fourth member of the panel, Sam Davidson. She is not feeling well today, so she'll be back next week, though. So don't forget to tweet her on social media. I'm sure she's got tons of theories, and she's watching this episode on repeat.
She's getting a colonic right now, guys. Send her love.
That's right. Yep. There you go. No. Will she be looking? Or she will not be looking at the tube. Those are the big questions. But as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and hop in the chat, everybody. And we're going to break it all down. But before we talk about the episode in particular, yes. Elena, we'll start with you. What did you think of the episode in general?
I loved this episode. I'm a big fan of like film noir. And I also just kind of like the original kind of like dime detective comics too. So having this with like kind of the overarching, the big sleep Humphrey Bogart theme, I loved it. I loved it. This is why I watch Riverdale. I'm into it. And after I wasn't super into last week's episode. So this week, I think they were just like, haha, don't forget, we're awesome.
There you go. Zach?
Yeah, I think last week's episode was really rough, and I don't think anybody loved it. But this week was so much fun. Like, we, you know, brought in that the fun, like, detective vibe, and we, you know, were on, like, the hunt with Jughead to figure out, like, who shot Hiram Lodge. And I thought it was a very fun episode, and it definitely brought the Riverdale back in my heart.
It was fun noir.
That's true. This is a show that does wear its influences.
We just need some Pinot Noir.
Yeah, on its sleeves, for better or for worse effect. Sometimes it's like, okay, we get it. It's too heavy-handed. But this time it seemed to strike a nice balance.
Yeah. I liked it because they had the references, but it was like just subtle enough to be like, if you know what we're talking about, cool. If you just kind of know this thematically, that's all you have to know to still get it.
Now, I mean, certainly Riverdale does accelerated storytelling. So we do find out who killed Hiram.
Who shot Hiram?
Who shot Hiram, exactly. Yes. Excuse me, Zach. You're right.
Who tried to kill him.
Were you happy that this was revealed in one episode, or would you rather have had this dragged out for a few more episodes, the big suspense?
I'm glad they gave it to us. Otherwise, they would have been dragging us on for too long to the point where I would have resented the writers, and I don't think they care, but I enjoyed that they gave us this right away, which means there's a new storyline that they're going to introduce.
That's true. Elena?
I agree. I loved this. I thought that it was perfect to have the setup and to have the three different stories of, you know, Betty and Penelope and their stalemate versus, you know, the Hiram Archie, like, oh, and then now it's Hermione and Jughead. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was nice to have the tie-ups for all of those things, but still have enough of a setup to say, look, this is going to influence what's going to happen later without having to just drive it into the dirt. Like, we're like, okay, we're all kind of like, we're good with this. Let's see what comes next.
Yeah, I like that we tied up the whole, like, we figured out who actually shot him and why. Like, that wasn't a dragged out storyline. And then we had some closure between Archie and Hiram, which we thought we got with the whole bear attack, you know, dream sequence, which was really random. But we kind of had a lot of closure this episode, and it was also in a fun, like, you know, fantasy kind of way with the whole detective, like, vibe.
What did you think, Frank?
Yeah, it was fine. actually, let's just jump on to what you were talking about to Archie, because let's talk about his storyline first. It's, you know, he's got a lot of anger issues. Why are you mad, bro? Why are you mad? but Zach, you're right, because we spent so much time with that sequence in Canada where he had to go and he had to kill all these various people to feel like that was just filler. It didn't really mean anything because he still realizes, like, oh no, I've got to actually just see Hiram directly.
That was so annoying because I thought, like, we went through therapy with Archie and, like, we had worked out our issues, and, like, clearly he still had other issues and, like, needed to see a therapist or just, like, you know, save Hiram from getting shot.
That is true. I'm like, they need some serious therapy. They stop opening brothels. Get some therapists in here in Riverdale. Like,
Well, I don't know. Maybe he needed a good dominatrix to really snap him into gear. That could have helped.
I don't know. I'm glad it was Josie and not a dominatrix.
Josie with cold water. That's cold water shower.
Well, because we see Archie. He's like, I don't know if I should go to college. Maybe I should just, you know, work with you at the construction site. Do something
with
my
hands. His dad was way too chill with that. Was like, all right, we'll get ready because we start in an hour. I'm like, you don't want to have more of a discussion about...
Yeah, she's like, hard work is nothing to be ashamed of. I was like,
yeah, but I'm like, today's shift is different than, like, what am I going to do for the rest of my life?
For the
rest,
yeah.
It's like, you're mad, so you want to break some rocks. Like, I get that, but, like, also... Take the SATs again, bro. You freaked out. Like,
yeah. I don't even know if Fred knows that he just left the SATs. It'd be nice to at least have some reference.
Told him, I think. Did he? Yeah. He like comes home and he's like, walked out of the SATs. And Fred, super chill, is like, okay. I'm like, my dad would have been like, get your ass back out there. Are you kidding me?
I felt like that Fred's tough love after he gets in the fight with the with Vic at the work site. It feels like that was something I wanted to see much sooner.
Earlier. Yeah. A lot earlier. Like, be a dad. Yeah. Like, you've got the daddy vibe, but, like, let's, like, really set our kids straight.
Fred is just, like, super chill about everything. Like, which I kind of like, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, your kid is clearly spiraling. And, like, the lounge singer at the speakeasy is having to take care of him instead of you. Like,
yeah, maybe
get it together,
we do need
bro.
Molly Ringwald to come back from Chicago for another episode to like set things straight.
So we do see him get into a scuffle at the speakeasy, and so Josie takes care of him. So it was just that one little chat, like, and I liked how Josie said, "I know we didn't talk much at all last year," an acknowledgement of the show, saying, "Yeah, we didn't really do much with Josie at all last season." Do you buy this? Because I read there's also an article online saying 11 reasons why Josie has always been into Archie. Do you buy, which I didn't buy, do you buy that Josie is into Archie at all?
I think Josie's just a good person. And I think that, I mean, we got to see so much of her arc about, you know, being kind of under the pressure of her parents and then her breaking out and kind of, you know, finding her own self-actualization. She seems to be the only self-realized character fully right now. Because Jughead, arguably, but Archie is definitely, like, he needs some help. And she's like, all right, you know, calm down, Red. Like, I do love, too, that they literally, they're like, all right, this is a metaphor and physically a cold shower. We're going to say it blatantly before we do it, just in case you don't get how clever it is. This is a clever freaking moment.
Well, I did like how Archie was like, it was almost like he was going to get stabbed the way they cut it to commercial. Like, oh, Veronica, Josie, no.
I'm like,
it's just water,
calm
dude.
Calm down. Like, it's just water. It's not that cold, really. Like, I mean, anytime you turn on a shower, it's
especially
not,
especially when you're, like, drunk, because then you don't really feel it as cold.
Yeah.
Like, you don't feel many things when you're drunk. I've taken a few hits to the face. No, I'm kidding.
Zach, are you buying the Josie-Archie potential romance being set up?
I hope not. I think Josie's probably the only one in Riverdale right now that Archie should be with, because she's, like, a good person, and she can help him get it together, but I don't really want to see that happen. Like, I want to see Archie continue to go for the bad girl and, like, continue to have all of these tumultuous relationships, because that's what I love about the CW.
I mean, I feel like, unlike the comic books, where you can kind of play that triangle between Betty, Veronica, and Archie a lot.
Yeah.
And sometimes throw in Cheryl or Josie in the comics. But here, I feel like it doesn't seem to work. That would translate well into a TV show.
Yeah.
So I feel like you couldn't really trade back and forth between Betty and Veronica. So I feel like Josie is a safe option to change the dynamic without really, you know, doing anything.
But I feel like they've also really taken Betty off the table for Archie right now.
Yeah, because she's like super all about Jug, which they're like, yeah, I mean, I love that.
But people have talked about, like, Archie and Betty as endgame, and it's like, I don't see it.
I don't know. I don't either, because I'm like, he's just, I don't think he should be with anybody right now. I'm like, he needs to get his life together.
He needs
to do
some ayahuasca in India, like some Eat, Pray, Love. He needs to, like, find himself.
I don't think he needs any other substances. I'm like, just, like, sober up and hang out. Like, you got attacked by a bear, bro. Like, just, like, you've been through some stuff. You're in high school. Like, just take a break. Yeah. Like, chill out. Go get a milkshake. If you like root beer, get a root beer float. Do whatever you want to order. Just like hang out and chill.
Take
just
it
like,
easy.
Yeah,
take a beat.
Don't go to the speakeasy. Yeah. Root beer float. Calm down.
Don't go to your ex-girlfriend's speakeasy whose father tried to kill you. Like,
I'm a paying customer, Reggie.
That's what's also so weird to me, where I'm like, Reggie's also in high school. Like, he's like, I know how to pour.
Yep.
I'm really good at mixing drinks.
Well, it was just a shot glass, so pretty easy. It's like you're just pouring in the shot. It's fine. But I always feel like from season one with Josie, like, wasn't really keen on Archie's musical stylings. It's like, mm-hmm. he's fine, whatever, but I really don't want to do much with him. To now be like, when Archie says, can we jam together sometime? Sure, yeah, like the old days. Like, the old days, you kind of hated him.
I like that she's like, but she kind of says that too, where she's like, but you're singing backup. Also like the old days. Don't forget.
Yeah.
I was a real big bitch to you when you were trying to step on top of my talent. I don't know. I love Josie, though. I'm just like, I don't want her to be with Archie because I don't want him dragging her down. I'm like, keep singing. You look great. He interrupted your song. That douche.
I didn't know if I would go as far as saying I love Josie. She's kind of just there. She's like cute, but like, she's like a filler character that when we need a little extra time to kill and a storyline to spin, we throw her in.
But don't you feel like, especially like her or Kevin, or even Reggie a little bit more this season, but characters that are signed on as series regulars and we hardly see anything happen with them.
They kind of pick and choose when they want like the series regulars to have their own focus. But I mean, that's kind of how the comics were too, where they had like special, you know, like different editions would focus on one particular person you wouldn't see too much. But at least this one, we saw Cheryl and Josie at all.
Yeah, we see a lot of Cheryl this season. But yeah, they
were... I mean, like
they
last episode.
Oh no, we didn't see her at all in the last episode. But no, they seem to rotate them out depending on whatever storyline they're trying to make happen that week.
But there's at the beginning of the season where there's an episode where Reggie gets beat by his dad when he asks about the Midnight Club.
Yeah.
And so then Josie, Kevin, and Reggie are in Pop's the stand there, and they're saying, we should do our own game and really investigate this on our own. And then nothing ever came of that. I was like, that'd be cool to see a storyline focusing just on those three.
I don't think we'll see that.
But it never happened.
They never, yeah, which I feel like at this point, they could. Like, we would all be on board for some side story episodes. I don't think anybody would be like, no, I need to see more of Archie brooding.
Oh, well, great. More of him pounding rocks at the quarry.
Yeah.
Great.
All right, I can't hit rocks anymore. Kevin's dad hits people's faces. Do you think he'd be cool if I do that too? I'll come sing after. I'll be in the background because I'll probably look real busted.
I would like to know that dynamic because we did see that scene where we had Kevin and Josie and their mom and dad in there, mm-hmm. but the new family dynamic, and we've never seen anything after that.
That's true.
Nope.
They set that up a lot, Kevin. And they You're really haven't. Like, yeah, Kevin's kind of been a little.
Don't forget Kevin exists. Here's his name.
Yeah. Well, we see he might be coming, but yeah, they've like really lightly had him in this season.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of there with his little uniform, but it's really just for, like, one scene to be like, where's your hall pass? And then, like, that's it. Like, you don't get much from him.
Hall monitor Kevin.
Yeah.
The other storyline we have, where we kind of, everybody has their own little stories that they're kind of investigating, but the whole thing is surrounded by Jughead, where he's typing this all up, his little story there. And it's always been kind of a noir thing with Jughead since the series began. But this one, as Elena was so excited about it, really just steeped into it. Felt like, yeah, this is your deep dive into the noir aspect, where you see, you know, the mysterious lady in silhouette comes in, wearing the hat, gets the Bacall shot up.
I don't know that he even read where he's like, nice hat. And I'm like, yes! Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a little too on the nose, but that one, I was like, I'm into it. I like it.
All right. Yes, if you had to have somebody investigate a crime that happened, would you want Betty or would you want Jughead?
Betty. I think Betty goes the extra mile, and she like really, I don't know, I think she really throws herself into it. And she has that journalist, you know, in her blood, like her mama.
I think it really depends on the crime, honestly, like the mystery, because as we saw now, like with her being kind of leaning towards the moral ambiguity of different situations and her being like buddy-buddy with her psycho murder dad, she's like, only person I can talk to, my serial killer father.
That's true.
Like, I don't, so I'm like, it depends. It depends close. On what it is. Like,
I feel like Jughead's got that nice network, though. He's got all those serpents worth him.
Yeah, but he doesn't always make the smartest decisions. Like, sometimes it's a little impulsive and it's a little boy brain. Mm-hmm. Whereas Betty, I think for the most part, always stays true to like her end goal. Whether or not she acts on it is a different story, but she's very focused on getting to the end of her story.
I feel like with Jughead, it depends on how personal the situation is to him. Like, if it's something he really, really cares about that he wants to know,
he'll really pursue
he'll go the extra mile. He'll come up with creative solutions, like saving FP and figuring out the tall boy thing, like tying up the loose ends, almost Hiram style, which was kind of weird they even referenced that later. Like, I was like, I see your parallels. I get you. But yeah, I feel like if it's something he really cares about, if it's people he really cares about, then he's almost more clever because Betty lets her emotions cloud her judgment. Whereas for Jughead, it's more of a motivation.
That's what you're saying.
But if it was like something where I was like, oh, here's my problems with my life and you don't know any of these people, then Jughead's like, I don't really care. Betty would be like, I'll help.
You know what? It's not just Jughead or Betty or people who care about people. We care about people here at AfterBuzz as well.
We do.
Absolutely. You know, we work hard to become the ESPN or TV talk, and in large part, that's because you've cared about us so much.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, but for us to continue to grow, we also need a little extra help from you. So if you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, give us that 5-star rating. But no matter where you are, leave a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. You know, if you want to talk about colonics or anything, I know Zach would love to just chat away with you. But being part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate you supporting us and doing what we love. So don't forget to tell your friends and keep enjoying our shows.
Yes.
There you go. And your colonics.
And your colonics.
Why not? Enjoy those.
Clean.
So yeah, we do have Hal. Hal's all of a sudden become like the person I didn't know that I wanted to see this season. And now he's showing up all the time. Yeah.
I hated it when he first showed up, and I was like, "Why are we?" I thought we retired this storyline, and I actually don't. I didn't hate him this week, just because I'm appreciating how Betty's kind of leaning into her dark side, which stems from her father, who's like now her confidant because she's like screwed everybody else in her life.
I'm just like, don't bring out the wig again. As long as it's just I'm like, there's a line. Like, just dark Betty I'm fine with, up to the wig.
The wig was a bit much.
That's the line. I don't need the actual dark Betty. Like, I'm fine with it.
It was such a bad wig. That was such a
wig. I was like, was what is that? And I don't know. Just her mom, what is this wig for? I'm like, get out of here.
Well, because certainly through the course of this episode, Betty does find out, you know, that there's not everybody's got a little bad in them. Mm-hmm. And so she's done some things that she can't deny when Penelope accuses her. And when she talks to Hal at the end of the episode, it's like, you know, you can realize that Penelope and I are just products of our environment. We are twisted by the people who raised us. So if you can kind of see some compassion towards Penelope, maybe you could see some towards me.
Yeah.
Do you buy that Betty could ever see her dad in any sort of favorable light?
I mean, she keeps talking to him now. I was like, if there wasn't any, at least a little crack, like a little bit of hope, then she would just be like, no, F off, weirdo. But I like that apparently since they've been talking, he's dropped his Hannibal Lecter voice a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but he's still like almost like too proper when he talks to her.
He is, but I think that that's good on the actor's part because I feel like they were leaning really, really heavily into like this is like a Hannibal reference, like be very like don't emote at all. And then this episode, they're like, but have that emotional connection with your daughter, but still be muted.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like he did a, it's a fair good balance. Yeah, and I feel like maybe it'll kind of break down a little bit as Betty's view of him kind of breaks down a little bit, then maybe he'll become more of a I don't know. I just feel like as an audience member, they would want to make him seem a little less animatronic.
Humanize him a bit,
Yeah, because I think like Betty's been, you know, he lived with him her whole life until everything went down. And he talked like a normal dad.
Yeah.
He did stuff like a normal dad. And now when he's in the cell, he just acts so weird. So I'd be thinking, is this the real you? Were you just putting on an act at home with me for the last 15, 16 years? Or what's the deal?
Man.
Or just the cell.
Maybe he's having just like a midlife crisis where he just needs to like, you know, put on this accent and like feel, you know, powerful.
Yes.
Most midlife crises.
Yeah, I don't need that car. I just need a new accent.
No Ferrari.
I don't need the Ferrari. I just need to be slightly less affected.
Just need to be dark.
Well, we do find out who killed Claudius as well as Clifford. That was nice to find out because there had always been suspicions about that. Clifford's death was not a hanging. But are you satisfied? Like, this is what we found out about it. But ultimately, it does end up just in being a stalemate between her and Betty.
I mean, sure. If we were going to set it up this way, I would have liked a little more of a storyline to continue versus, you know, just this, you know, leverage that she's holding over Betty. Like, give me, like, it was fine. I wasn't wowed by it.
I just don't understand why everybody feels the need to confront someone to be like, look at the evidence I have against you. And I'm like, this has never gone well for any of you.
No, like turn her evidence, in.
Give it to the authorities and be like, hi, look at this autopsy that says that she had tetrodotoxin. She's got pufferfish venom just chilling in her house.
Yep.
She has a secret brothel that apparently everyone's chill with that we just walked in. We're in high school. Like, there's no one at the door. There's no guard.
That
no
seems lock. So weird to me that you could just walk right in and it was totally cool.
And then, like, you're going to walk in and be like, excuse me. And then just the guy runs away. Like, I'm like, anyone can come in here, sir. Like, you clearly have not worried about the security previous to this moment. Like, I don't know.
Well, we do, speaking of Ladies of the Night, we were teased that possibly Kelly Ripa's character was going to be that. And it had been teased that she's going to be on the show for so long. Were either of you satisfied with Kelly Ripa's cameo? Because I was not.
Mm-mm. I loved that Kelly Ripa was in the episode, but I was underwhelmed with her cameo and, like, what her role was. Like, she was Hiram's mistress, and she was, like, you know, doctoring water paperwork. Like, it was a little limp for me.
Yeah.
Well, because it was just like a cameo. Like, it was like just a, you know, a really, really.
But like,
quick...
if you're going to do a cameo, then give me the Andy Cohen cameo that you gave like last season, you know, where it was like a quick scene and Andy Cohen played Andy Cohen. Like, this was just a really random kind of fit to squeeze her in.
And I also don't understand why all of the parents, like all of these adults, keep telling some random kid who's like, I'm a detective now because my other friend in high school gave me money. So tell me your secrets. And they're like, all right, well, I'll tell you all my secrets then. You seem legit.
Yeah.
Like, that was the only thing. Like, I was like, what? Why are you confessing any of this? And she's like, put my egg down. I'm like, what? This is, it's not even a Fabergé egg. It's like a Glamourgé egg.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to change the name of Fabergé. Like, we, that's not copyright. I don't know.
Well, because when it was teased, it was announced that she's going to be on the show and playing Hiram's mistress. Just that reading that, you expect certain things.
Yeah.
And then just to see this, where she's talking to Jughead for a couple minutes, and that's it. You're like, okay.
And even her character was just weak. Like, it didn't, like, I don't know, give me, like, some spice and a gun and, like, a standoff or something. It was just a little lackluster for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Just the whole thing with the egg being like this thing where it's like, don't shoot me or I'll drop your egg. And then like a minute later, she's like, drop the egg. I don't care about the egg. And I'm like, then why are we even having this conversation? Like, what?
Well, yeah, where's the leverage
make
that
the
he's holding over you?
Make the stakes a little higher here. Like some sort, like, I've got evidence. I'm, you know, I'm blackmailing you. Like, something. I got your egg.
Yeah, and it's like a health and sanitation worker and she's just carrying a gun.
Yeah.
I didn't think your life was that dangerous.
Who was paid off just to doctor paperwork. It was a stretch.
She know, I mean, like, I feel like if the mayor and the mob and, the, like, all of these people were like, look, you gotta lie about this water because we got what sounds like Pop Rocks, but it's drugs all over the place. It's not candy. It's bad. Seizures, man. Like, you gotta lie about it. I might be like, you know, it's probably a good idea to have some sort of firearm or some sort of protection, because everyone in this town just gets shot for funsies.
It's true.
Like, they just have standoff to another standoff to, like, I've got a gun too. Like, so do I.
I don't know if we'll ever see her again this season. Maybe, maybe not. I would. Well, maybe. Just if they could give her more to do.
They cut to her next time and she's actually testing the water.
Oh, perfect then.
She's just like, all right.
That's her only
like,
scene.
Cut away. Yeah. Only
perfect.
Line.
Yeah, so we do find out all these seizures that we've been seeing all the season are just from the runoff.
Yeah.
And Claudius was totally fine with that. He didn't care that the girls were being afflicted by these seizures. Satisfying answer
they
to all that?
They also didn't really explain why the girls, or maybe I missed it, why the girls are being affected more than the boys.
That was the thing, was Penelope kind of had a one-liner where she's like, I'm a herbologist. I don't, you know, all I know are these things. Like, I don't know about fizzle ruts. Why am I supposed to know why it only affects girls? But he knew that, and he's a man, and men are the worst. And if it affects men, and not just women, then this point wouldn't have standed as strong as I'm trying to make it. I don't know why Penelope talks like that now. That was just a horrible impersonation that went on way too long, and I do apologize. But, yes. Yeah, like, I mean, her whole thing is just like, men are the worst. That's why I'm a dominatrix. And I was like, I mean, okay, but...
But are they really doing bad to men, or they're like pleasuring men by dominating them?
That was my thing, is I was like, but they're into it. Like the ones that they like it, like, yeah. They're paying you
to do this to them.
She's
That's why
I poisoned the other ones that I. Okay. Again, the voice came back.
Yes.
She's like, but only poison the ones that are like kind of crappy to girls, given seizures from drug runoff. It's like, well, at least Hiram moved it to the prison.
Yeah.
He's like, if there's going to be runoff, it can just be by the prison. It doesn't have to go into the river. I told the girls, it's fine. It's kind of nice, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah.
I'm not into my daughter having all these seizures, so I'll just move it to the prison.
It's very feminist of him.
This is maybe jumping ahead.
Oh, no, go for it.
But what the hell was up with Veronica being like, okay, so now we have to break into the prison and get everything, but Reggie, you can just go by yourself while I go hang out with Archie.
That was the easiest thing. So by the end of the episode, they're just like setting fire to stuff. You're like, wow, that...
That was way more simple than it seemed. Breaking into a prison. There was a whole other show about this.
Yes. Like,
it went on for many seasons. Like,
I mean, I guess you could infer by Elio coming to visit Veronica and saying that the vultures are swarming. A lot of his capos were gone. And Veronica fired the last two capos that he had. So maybe the prison wasn't as heavily watched as it had been in the past. So if they were going to do it, now would be the best time to make that move.
But I'm like, it's also a prison. Like, shouldn't there be guards and, like, other people being like, hey, Rando, what are you doing? And how are all of these crates of things?
Imagine there would be, like, an operation that's, like, keeping this secure and keeping this drug empire running that Reggie, one kid from high school, wouldn't be able to just walk in and, like, drive out with everything.
Or even just an administrator at the front that's like, hey, child, you can't just walk into a prison. Walk out with crates of stuff, like... What's going on here?
He's a jack of all trades.
It's Riverdale.
It's Riverdale.
That's right. There you go. Yes.
You know what? Forget it.
It's Riverdale.
Just ending with a nice, sweet Chinatown reference. That's always good. I love it. That's right. So we find out Hermione, instrumental in the shooting of Hiram, has been Sheriff Mineta was alive. They faked his death. They set all this up. Finding all this stuff about Hermione. Does your respect raise for her, or do you still feel like she's still an underdeveloped character?
My respect raised for her a little bit after seeing all... I mean, she went through great lengths, you know, faking Mineta's death and, like, really, you know, putting together this plot to kill Hiram, and then she was going to frame FP for it. Like, she put a lot of thought into it while also doing that under Hiram. I have respect for her. I feel like we could have done this a lot sooner and really kind of... you know, showed us what a badass she is sooner. But, I mean, I don't hate it.
Yeah, I feel like it was, you know, kind of explained that it's like, oh, well, she's a badass because she actually was going to have Hiram shot so she could sell the whole thing. And she had all of this thing. But don't forget, she left a paper trail, and that's real dumb. I was like, you literally preferenced it with, like, only idiots do this, so Hermione did this. And I was like, what are you trying to say then? Like, you keep going, I don't know, I felt like it was kind of back and forth of her being like, she's actually the secret badass, but she makes errors, and her kid figures
she's a woman.
Well, because Veronica tried to cook the books, and Hiram spotted that.
Yeah.
So you would think that Hiram would have picked up on all this.
You would think, especially if she's just leaving invoices, like, on the desk and, like, around. Like, I'm like, what? Like, you can't buy a shredder? You got a lot of money. You should be able to buy a shredder.
That's true.
Like, I don't know. I also just was disappointed that there was no, like, Mineta, like, oh, good job, Hermione. You sure know how to get ahead.
Like, there you go.
Something. I don't know. Some sort of...
Thank you, Josh.
Get decapitated pun.
I will say I was surprised about the Mineta reveal because I thought, like, he's dead and gone. Who cares?
I thought he was dead and gone, too.
So to have him still around for this, I was like, oh, all right.
I was just surviving. I was surprised.
Did he even have a line?
Well, yeah, give me a cigarette, will you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was
he had, like, a couple lines, too. Where, like, at the beginning when Jughead's, like, just creepily watching them. When he's like, here's some vague things, but that also bothered me that Jughead didn't continue to stay where he's like, they're going to frame my dad.
What should we do now?
And it's like, we'll figure it out in the morning. And I'm like, stay and get more details. And it's like, this is an immediate scenario.
Record it. Yeah, like, something more than just like bouncing.
I just thought it was sad that Kevin got no screen time, but Kurtle got so much.
Oh,
like I was like, man, we just keep going back to find out. And he's just not very good at keeping secrets at all.
You throw money at him and he will tell you anything.
Mm-mm. Jughead didn't have to do anything. He was just like, tell me who did this. Like, why did you lie so egregiously? Oh, well, Hermione told me to.
That's right. Cool. Thanks.
Okay.
We just busted this wide open. I mean, you know, they set up FP. And I mean, I guess Jughead had to leave to go tell FP. That the...
But he didn't leave to go out and tell FP. Didn't he, like, run a couple of errands in between?
Yeah, he did other stuff. And then went FP.
He went, he went to whatever his name is, the mortician.
Yeah. He went to go see Kurtle.
I was like, we're really not, like, concerned about your father about to be framed for the murder of Hiram Lodge. Like,
well, I guess he had to get more details, I suppose.
But I'm also like, phones exist.
Yeah, you can be like, yo, that's dad.
True. That's true.
FYI.
Because true, Betty gets texts from him, so why can't he just call her?
Like, why can't he just... And that was the whole thing, was it was like, Hiram was on the phone with Hermione, so that was the alibi. And I'm like, phones exist, even in this episode. Yeah. Like, come on, guys. Use it. Call your dad.
Well, yeah, Bumble existed last week. Yeah. They were swiping.
That's true. And we get to see FP when Alice finally getting to show off her cool TV journalist roots now. Where I was like, this is... You finally got that big TV job you wanted, Alice, and this is it. You're doing one-man band stuff inside this sheriff's station?
Dark station. No lighting. Is that low budget?
Did the interview already start? Like, she was acting like that was it. And I was like, him looking off camera telling her what's happening is your interview?
I wish it was. That would have been fantastic.
This, Alice? Like, what? Because you're earn like, that right, job. We'll get you next. And I was like, next? I'm like, that was it?
Yeah, that's right. And no cutting. We're just going to have you come in.
Just come in. Everyone who's watching live right now, this is what's happening.
What?
I would introduce it, but I'm also setting up the camera. You can't see it anyway. There's no light.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know how long Alice's journalism career is going to last there. Or TV journalism.
She's busy with the farm.
Oh, the farm. The farm.
Somebody at the farm should have come ran camera for Alice.
Yeah, like, she could have found.
Yeah. If they wanted her to get this job so bad, yes.
They saved all those girls from the nuns. Like, they could have been interns. Like, we could have given them jobs. Women in journalism. Like, that sounds like a great class.
I want to talk about Veronica. Because she, with Hiram shot, of course, as mentioned, Elliot comes in, talks about the vulture circling. But she decides to step in and kind of at least... Run it while her dad's laid up in the hospital. So she's got to go and get the take from various people. But she fires the last two capos. So she gets with Smithers, a nice callback. We haven't seen Smithers in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And her boy Reggie to set this all in action.
I can't hear the name Smithers and not think of The Simpsons. Smithers. Like, that's all I hear every time is Mr. Burns' voice. Like, it's Veronica, true. Like, oh, thank you, Smithers. Like, I'm sorry. That's all I hear. It bothers me. I'm like, be named something else.
But I feel like, because like Smithers kind of left town, because Hiram said, get the heck out. You're getting too close to Veronica. You're telling her things she shouldn't know about. And now, I don't know if he's just back for this one episode. Or are we going to see him again anymore? Who knows?
The war story was odd to me. Like, I was like, what? We haven't seen you in a hot minute. And now we're like, things have been real in your life, Smithers. Like, dang, you have seen some stuff. Like, you're having to take the helmets off of your, like, dead colleagues and, like,
put them outside. Stick them up to hide. Yeah.
And, like, the moral of the story is lies exist. Like, okay, this was extreme, Smithers.
It almost started when that started off. I was like, oh, it's a moment where he's got dementia now. And Veronica's going to be like,
I think he might, because he's like, I'm going to hang out with these two high schoolers, and they've got it figured out. I'll just be a chauffeur.
But I do like Veronica. I feel like there's a lot to her, because she hates her dad at times, but will step in when her dad is injured to kind of run the family and the organization.
I feel like she needs to make a decision. Either she hates her father and she wants nothing to do with his drug empire, or, you know, she wants to be a part of it and be a part of the family business. But she keeps dipping in and out. She needs to make up her mind.
I think she wants to be a part of the family business. She just wants the family business to be legit.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen.
I mean, it will if people keep shooting on her parents.
Yeah, and they keep.
Well, the only ones shooting her parents are each other.
Well, I mean, I guess we're going to see something bad coming down because Hermione took the payment from the people who wanted to buy the prison and all the drug supplies.
Now she has no drugs to give them.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here like, okay, well, you gave Jughead a lot of money to not give you any info at all. So maybe you could be like, hey, bro, they're coming for me. Can I have some of that fat stack back? Because that thing was like this thick
that's
both
true.
Times.
Because I was feeling, I was waiting for Jughead at the end to go like, ah, you keep it, it's fine.
But he's just like, nope. You don't want to know the real info? Cool, thanks for this cash.
Do you think Betty knows? Or, I mean, Veronica knows? Like, without, not having to hear from Jughead, but she knows
her mom had something to do with it.
I'm sure she does. I mean, with the way that everything kind of played out, I think it was pretty obvious. And he's like, don't you want to know? And she's like, I don't need to hear the name. I know.
Oh, Veronica. Oh, Veronica.
Veronica.
I feel like this would be a great time for us to do our class president, class clown segment. Where we salute who was the best in the episode, and then we point out who was ridiculous this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, anybody come to mind for you for either class president or class clown?
Class clown was definitely Alice. Because, like, this was her first big moment.
Yep.
And she was just, like, a hot mess. Like, she could have done better with her iPhone. She could have put the flash on, like something, anything. She could have, like, if she really wants a career in this, like, she would have really gotten it together. And then class president, I'm going, I'll give it to Veronica only because I liked how she kind of ran the empire, even though her dad was, you know, in the hospital.
All right.
I would say class president Jughead because that was pretty clever to be like, look, we've got a stinky rotty body that we got to get rid of that people are looking for.
You hated his
people are
party.
Coming after my dad. I didn't hate the party. I thought that was a good like alibi, but I mean like it's been days at this point. Like Tallboy's like it's gotta be rough down there. Like people are gonna figure out if you don't do something about this. Like, which I'm also like, I'm sorry. Wouldn't, I guess Curdle is just all about lying about the deceased, but I'm like, wouldn't people notice, like, oh, Top Boy kind of smells like he's been rotting for days when you shot him on the way to the hospital? Like, that's interesting.
He seems like someone easy to just pay off, though.
Yeah.
It did feel weird, though, that Fang doesn't protest at all when Jughead says, stay here with the body. Like, nobody says, it stinks, Jughead. Why am I doing this?
Yeah, and Febreze. If they find me chilling out with this body, like, that's going to be bad for me. There's going to be another body. Like,
yeah.
Help me out, bro. But I still give him class president because that didn't happen. Everything worked out fine.
Yeah.
He figured it out. He bested all the adults. And as a child, he was still able to get every adult to answer every question he had, even when he opened with, did you shoot your husband?
Yeah, there you go. Why are you going right to it?
No setup at all. Go for it.
I think I'll go class clown Archie.
Archie,
because he goes in. He's
class
ridiculous this episode
for me.
That's true. Oh yeah, yes. You didn't get your class clown, so yes.
I would have said Archie, but I feel like you're gonna make a better point for that, and I'm gonna go with Curdle because every time we see him, he's just like, I suck at my job.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
He's great to pay off, but he never keeps the secrets. Like,
yeah.
He always ends up spilling things.
I've got lots of money, and I cannot keep a secret to save my life.
You would think that would be a character that wouldn't be long for this show.
No.
You'd like, we gotta shut him up because he talks way too much.
They're like, look, there are limited job options here in Riverdale. Nobody wants to be the mortician. We got one. His name's Curdle. His life's already probably been rough.
I would say my class clown, Archie Andrews, because he is as a dope this whole episode. But then he goes and says, yeah, I got to go kill one last demon. So he goes in with a gun, with no gloves, fingerprints all over the place. He goes in to kill Hiram. Like, come on, you dumb. What were you thinking was going to happen with this? If your plan went to perfection and you shot him, they're still going to be able to track down who it was.
I think at that point, he's just so far gone that he's like, I don't, because he's even like, I basically died. I thought I'd killed my demons and myself with that bear.
Yeah.
And Josie's like, he lost me at all. I don't know. I love that part.
And then he shoots Minetta. So, I like, when he tells Betty or Veronica, it's like, he doesn't mention the gun, doesn't mention anything about the shooting. Like, how does he say that he stopped this person from killing him?
Yeah, it's like, because Veronica just assumes.
He didn't
even the water tester has a gun. Everybody here has one. But I don't, I was like, it kind of lucked out for Archie, too, that then Hermione's like, no, I'm going to shoot Minetta, too. It's just the thing to do. Somebody yeah. already did it. I'll empty out my old one, too, so.
I will say class president for me was Grandma Blossom. Because just for saying crocodile tears, that was the best.
Crocodile that was tears. Great.
Oh, God, you're right. She is the best character.
Real quick, before we wrap up, a little bit of news. Let's see what you guys think of this. TV news. So we know for the past, last season, they did their riff on Carrie the Musical. This season, they're going to be doing Heathers the Musical.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So, and it's actually, they announced the cast list and everything, so it's going to be, no surprise, it'll be Josie playing the title character there. But Cheryl Blossom will be in there, of course, Veronica Lodge, Betty Cooper. This is all, though, put on by, it's sponsored by The Farm. So that'll be curious.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. Okay. But, of course, Kevin will be directing it, so we'll get to see more of Kevin
Yay,
in that episode.
He exists.
Kevin needs to stick in a lane. Like, he's directing musicals, and he's like this what is Soldier Boy?
ROTC.
I can't.
ROTC guy.
And he's like hooking up in the woods. Like, pick something and stick to it.
You do you, Kevin. Do what you want.
What are the two you think about doing a Heather's musical?
I mean, I like it. I think it's interesting, and it's an interesting choice, especially, like, I don't know. I feel like current climate, it's like this could go one of two ways.
Yeah, I think it's either going to be really great and we're going to love it, or it's going to be, like, really off the wall and we're going to be like, what?
Well, if you do look on 17... Yeah, because that's where I find all my news. I'm spending a lot of time on that 17 magazine website.
You're their demo.
Yes, if you do, they do have some photos there from KJ Apa rocking his cool hairpiece wig that he'll be wearing for that episode.
Ah.
Looks slick, guys. Looks slick.
Nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Riverdale After Show. Yeah. We did it again.
Huzzah!
That's right. So, as always, folks, thanks for joining us. Like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. But if you want to stay in touch with any of us, even after the show's over, Zach, where can they find you?
I'm Zach Peter, and you can follow me at JustPlainZach all over the internet.
I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at that, or actually at Elena J. Jordan. I forgot I changed it because somebody pointed out I was too old to call myself that Elena Jordan girl, and it hurt my feelings, so I just changed the whole thing.
Boo to that person.
But I also am going to be in Hawaii next month for the amazing Comic-Con Aloha. Tickets are on sale now.
Fun.
You guys can get those. And also the next season of Relativity, the sci-fi radio drama that I am in, is going to be premiering next week. So check it out.
Oh, very
sweet.
Cool. Folks, if you want to talk colonics, you know, hit me up at Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. I'd love to just, you know, show me pictures of what came out in your tube. It'd be cool. It wouldn't be. Folks, thanks for joining us for this episode of the Riverdale After Show. We'll be back here next Wednesday night with an all-new episode right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Yeah.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.